Please be seated. So most of you here know Kirsten, who's part of this community, part of Abbey Church and part of Emmaus community. And she's not here today, but I did ask her if I could share this little anecdote that she has shared with me. Kirsten spends her life working in conflict resolution. If you ask me, that's a nightmare job for me. I hate dealing with conflict. I'm a conflict avoider. For those of you who do that weird Enneagram stuff, I'm supposedly a 9. But Kirsten works in conflict resolution. They tell me that she's quite good at it. And Kirsten tells me that when she hits a difficult situation, a really intense, difficult time that she just can't get past, where these different parties are just ready to kind of take each other out, she has a trade secret that she uses. What is it, you ask? She breaks for lunch. Yes, that's right. She just takes a break and gets the two parties to eat together. She tells me that there's something that after that simple action happens that makes the two parties just kind of realize their shared humanity. And more often than not, if you've hit an impasse, a breakthrough comes when you break for lunch. My theory about it all is that when we eat together, well, we really do become human. We have to chew and maybe some crumbs kind of fall out of our mouth. We stumble with a utensil, kind of ignore that if that's happening. Perhaps if you're me, you embarrassingly drop a glob of some kind of food all over your clothes and you kind of, you know, eating is deeply human. And I think that maybe when we eat, even if it's for just a millisecond, we see our common humanity. We skip past that conflict that rests between us. I want to ask us a question as we think through these readings that we've heard today, readings about unity and readings about Jesus being the bread of life. And the question I want in the back of our minds and our hearts as we read is, why do we bother coming here every week? I mean, the good Lord knows that there are many places that we could be on a sunny Sunday afternoon. There are probably actually people that we might rather even be with, although you guys are all awesome, so I'd rather be with no one. But there probably are others that you're like, I could be walking on the beach or whatever. So what is it then that draws us to come to this place, this space, week after week? You might each have a separate answer for that, and that's cool. But I want us to kind of think through that a little bit as a community gathered today. So last Sunday, Catherine guided us through a couple of miracles, and she retold the story in an evocative way, the loaves and fishes miracle and the walking on water. And I would suggest that those stories, when we dig deep into them, are stories that speak to us of freedom and of liberation. It's no coincidence that they echo the Passover, the bread, and that they happen on the Passover, in fact, in John's Gospel, and then the walking on the water, the going past the water. Very deep, deep, deep archetypes in the hearts of the Hebrew people. Freedom. Freedom from our fears and doubts, our addictions, our accusations, our insecurities. Freedom from injustice. Freedom from poverty and debt. Freedom from any kind of slavery. It's as if in those miracles, Jesus was saying to the people, you don't need to be slaves anymore. And so it is that the people's bellies were filled in what we heard about last week. And yet, as the story continues, they are not filled. They want more. They want more so much that they actually continue to follow Jesus even across a body of water. After loaves and fishes, they say, that was great. That was a nice lunch, but what do we get for dinner? It's as if they're saying, yes, you fed us, and you even fed us way back when, back in the wilderness. But we're still hungry. You know, there's still the Romans that are oppressing us. And even worse, we've still got Egypt in our hearts. So Jesus, I think, lovingly and gently says to them, look for the food that lasts. Not mere loaves and fishes, as cool as that was, but look for something so deep, so profound, that it lasts forever. But they are not content with that. So they pellet him with questions. Jesus, what do we have to do to perform these kind of deeds? Jesus says, just simply believe. Or as some people would translate that word, just trust. Trust in me. Just trust. Okay, fine. But what sign are you going to give us, Jesus? Can you just do a miracle or something? I mean, you've done a few. Can you do a couple more? And after a lot of back and forth, Jesus, I think, just cuts through it all and simply says to them, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life, as if to say, isn't that sign enough for you? I am the bread of life. Anyone who comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. You who come to me will never be hungry, and you who trust in me will never, ever thirst. I am the bread of life. That I am. It's the first of seven or so of these I am statements that Jesus makes in John's gospel. And I just love that he starts out with the simple, commonplace thing that everybody is experienced with, bread. As he goes on, he breaks it open into far more intense, you know, I am light and truth and resurrection, and all these kind of big metaphors. But he starts right where the people are. And yet, to the Hebrew listener of that time and that place, I am was not a mere statement of identity. Not like the I am Canadian of beer ads. Or even the I am Christian of our own tribal identity. It goes deeper than all of that and says, I am rooted back to God, who is the source of all being. It's an ancient invocation of God, going back to Moses hearing a voice in the burning bush, going back, as we heard today, to the manna given to the people in the wilderness, back to the Exodus, back to creation, stretching back through time. I am the bread of life. And so in church, in community, as Christian community, we use bread each week to speak of this body that is gathered, a body that's blessed and broken, an action that's symbolically and yet mysteriously repeated week after week, blessing and breaking of bread. And I'd suggest today that each week it reminds us that, in fact, the world is blessed. Our relationships are blessed. Our hearts are blessed. And the world is broken. Our relationships are broken. Our hearts are broken. And so it is that we gather to remember that even in our brokenness, we are the very body of Christ, linked and intertwined into the great I am, the very one who led the people from slavery across the waters and then provided sustenance, that bread in the wilderness. Paul takes it in a whole other direction. He uses another metaphor. He uses ligaments, of all things, kind of a less archetypical or evocative kind of word. But he says the whole body is joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped. As each part is working properly, it promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. I'm reminded that word religion kind of has a bad go of it these days. But at its root, the word religion comes from the word ligament. Religio, to rebind those unwound ligaments to come back together into wholeness. I'd suggest today that we need to be rebinders. We need to live in the muck and wonder of a world that is indeed blessed, which was God's first action, blessing all of creation, but is indeed, if we look at the evidence, broken. And not just at the world, but at ourselves, our communities, and our own very lives that are indeed blessed and broken. And as we rebind, we remember who we are and whose we are. Which, for me, is at least one of the answers why we are here. I'm not one who often quotes St. Augustine, but St. Augustine teaching about the mystery of communion and Holy Eucharist says this, and he starts by quoting Paul, and he says, "You are the body of Christ, member for member." And Augustine continues, "If you therefore are Christ's bodies and members, it's your own mystery that is placed on the Lord's table. It is your own mystery that you are receiving. You are saying amen to what you are. Your response is a personal signature affirming your faith. When you hear the body of Christ, you reply, amen. Be a member of Christ's body then, so that your amen may ring true." So it is that we are called to remember that great I am is Jesus, the bread of life, the very one who fed thousands and walked on water. But it's interesting that even that ancient bread, the manna or the loaves and fishes, they too fade. They too go stale. They rot. But not compared to the sustenance that Jesus promises. And so we're called to recall that we are part of the body, that we are becoming into what we receive. That is, the very creator of the universe, the Word made flesh, God come in Jesus, who is the bread of life. And it is, I think, the reason why we in our tradition here at the Abbey Church insist on coming to a table week after week. We confess, that's the broken part. We symbolically make peace, and hopefully it's not just a symbol, but we rebind ourselves. And then we eat. Of course, that sounds quite idyllic and lovely, and of course, it's never, ever that clean. We may walk away from here, and our relationships may still be broken. Our fears and our addictions don't magically dissolve. And God knows that there's still a lot of brokenness out there. There's a lot of brokenness in here. And there's a lot of brokenness right in here. And yet still, as we remember and as we rebind, there's something about being the body blessed and broken that speaks to a mystery that's so sublime, that's so powerful, that I think our only response is praise. Or perhaps even that fails and it's just awe and silence. And I think that perhaps even for a millisecond, even for a moment, maybe our differences, our conflicts, our brokennesses get kind of shone over in the grace of God and they suddenly seem irrelevant. They may not go away, but there's something about breaking for lunch. It's an ancient mystery made simple in the common things like grain and grape, like bread and wine, and made real, made whole in our relationships with each other, even as messed up as they might get. Augustine again says, "My friends, these realities are called sacraments because in them one thing is seen while another is grasped. What is seen is mere physical likeness. What is grasped bears spiritual fruit." It's a hard and mysterious teaching, but it reflects that we have one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, as Paul said. Even if we don't like the ideas, behaviors, theologies, ways of expressing themselves of the people who we stand in line with to come to this table. But it does call us again to rebind all that's unwound out there, in here. And I think it actually calls for a radical inclusivity around the table. To embrace, and I love Paul's language, so rooted in love, to embrace with humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's a hard teaching that we stand in line with our enemies. Yeah, we've made peace, but it's still messed up. And we're lined up with people of different ages, ethnicities, stages, sexual orientation, gender orientation, economic circumstances, lifestyles, bathing habits. And yet we all come in our common humanity, oh so blessed and oh so broken. Yes, there's something so deeply powerful in the mystery of coming to this table, to remembering who Jesus is and who we are. No, it's not a magic potion that takes away our differences or our broken places. But we do come here to remember that at our core, we are so deeply human. And even so, we are ever so entwined with the divine Jesus, the bread of life, who feeds our every hunger. So it takes me all back to Kirsten. Why don't we follow her lead this afternoon? And as we approach this table, think for a second that maybe we're taking a proverbial or metaphorical lunch break to remember, to rebind, to recognize our humanity. And when we make peace, maybe we should seek out the one who we are perhaps most broken toward. When we confess, may we confess into that space of our deepest brokenness and the deepest brokenness of the world. And in doing so, may we just remember who we are. May we remember who everybody else here is. May we remember whose we are. And may we remember whose they are. And as we do, maybe even as we drop a crumb or two, heaven forbid, we just realize how interwoven we all are in this mystery that is the bread of life, Jesus. We come here today to remember that we are God's and that God calls us to feast upon God's very presence. Echoing Augustine, I close by saying, behold what you are, become what you receive, take up the bread and wine, and embrace the mystery. Behold what you are, become what you receive, take up the bread and wine, embrace the mystery. Amen.